Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
You're now listening to the Jillian Michaels Show.
Okay, everybody, podcast fans, for one night only, at the Irvine, California Improv on September 23rd at 8 p.m., we are going to be doing a live podcast. So it's pretty much going to be an evening with me. Lots of Q&A, inspiration, information, tons of fun. And the tickets are $25, flat fee, period, end of story. If you want to do a VIP meet and greet, the tickets are $50, and the VIP gets you the best seats in the house. All you got to do is go, oh my goodness, crying out loud, that's a long link. You go to www.irvine.improv.com/Jillian Live. That's www.irvine.improv.com/Jillian Live.
Or you can go to the podcast page on Facebook.
Oh, and we'll have a link.
And we will have a link there.
Hope to see ya.
We'll check it out.
I cannot remember where I saw this, so in order to not get sued, I'll just say I wanted to discuss a little article slash blurb that I read about 10 life lessons that we learn too late, and it was written by someone named Jay Bazzanotti, and I thought, oh, well, what are those? Because I don't want to be late. If there's any that I haven't learned yet, I'll get them now and try to be early. But I read them, and I was like, God, this is very true. And I kind of just thought I would throw it out there, just in case any of you haven't learned it yet, maybe you could get it early and not later. But it says, like, what are life lessons that people often catch on to too late in life? Like, too late to kind of really learn from it, savor it, and benefit from it. And the first one is time passes much more quickly than you realize. Oh my gosh.
Yep.
And the older you get, obviously, the faster it goes.
Yes, because then you have less life ahead of you than you had behind you. And then it gets real.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you, but I think I still have more ahead of me than behind me.
I wasn't talking to you. I was looking at Jill.
Oh, I don't plan on getting much past 80, so I guess so. Although that old Jane Fonda's alive and kicking.
Yep.
Jeez, oh. But I mean, yeah, I just thought, like, you know, all the kind of time, you think you've got all the time in the world. And I realize now, and I wonder if it's too late, but when you ask me, like, what is my most precious commodity, almost to the point of being fanatical and slightly hysterical, is time.
Mm-hmm.
I just get so crazy when I'm wasting time because money, whatever comes and goes, but it's like time and people.
Yep.
People, it's like having quality people in your life, dude. I don't think that's on the list, but if I could throw that out there, if you have a few people in your life that you love, that love you back, I mean, that is seriously lucky.
Yeah.
It really is. And of the 7 billion people in the world, you'd think it'd be so easy to like, to make friends and form connections, but it's just not.
No, and the amount of people does not equate to the quality of the couple people you have.
No.
Absolutely. Uh-uh. Well, look at number four. People are far more important than any other thing in your life.
Oh, it is on the list. Damn it.
Yeah.
That's right. They're far more important. More important than money. More important than any hobby. They are. And it's just, boy, the sooner you can learn that, let me tell you, because I think a lot of times when we don't have money, we think money is the most important. And when we have money, it will be easier. And it doesn't, as my mom likes to say, feelings don't dissipate. So stress, pain, anger, loss, like mm-hmm. these things don't go away when you have money. Mm-mm. Even though your transmission may go and you don't have to worry about that, and that's great. You know, the true issues that we have in life are not solved by money. It's definitely helped along by connections, support, loved ones, and the richness of our life is not because you drove a fancy car.
Right.
I've had a million of those, let me tell you. Gave them all up.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't make me any happier. It didn't. It was neat for 5 minutes when I pulled up to a restaurant, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, Jesus, I'm not any happier. I'm not.
No. And after we came back from India, that was a big life lesson for us, too. I felt very different than a lot of other people. I felt like you were one of the only ones I could relate to because I was taking inventory.
I know.
And it was hard for me to act on this new barometer that I had because I'd seen so much gnarly poverty. I know we have it here, of course. But when it's abject in your face all the time and you see it, much different.
Oh, my God. I came home and, like, sold all the watches.
Yep.
Got rid of all the bags. Have one car. It's a Tesla, but I'm like, okay, it's not a crazy expensive car, and it's good for the environment. I can justify it. And,
yeah.
You know, I have a car. Heidi has a car. The nanny has a car.
We took stock after that.
Yeah. I mean, but people, dude, it's right. It's time and people. And I'm telling you, when I say not much else matters, it doesn't. And Autumn, didn't you tell me one time the number $70,000 a year, once you clear $70,000 a year, it's kind of not that much different. Was that you?
I don't think that was me.
Someone
but
told me that was the number. Like, once you're in, you are bringing in, I mean, obviously, if you have 10 kids, you know, the number needs to change. But, like, $70,000 a year was, like, a nice, comfortable number mm-hmm. for at least a single person or, like, a couple or maybe a couple with one kid, you know, in certain parts of the country. Like, they can make that work. It's not a disaster. You know, they can handle if the transmission goes. They can handle it if the dog gets sick. They're not paycheck to paycheck because that's beyond stressful. But it was like $70,000 a year. And, you know, beyond that, you go from driving a perfectly great car that works fine to the Ferrari. And let me tell you, you might think that Ferrari might make you happy. It doesn't. So as long as the transmission's not blowing and your whole life has come crashing down, you know, it's kind of like,
relative, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, look at the monk who sold his Ferrari. I mean, they referenced that on purpose because that's what happened and that's
I gotta
what
read
he
that
came.
Book.
Me too. I haven't ever finished
No, maybe
it's good.
We should read it. Is it
Let's
good?
Let's read it. I don't know. Let's read it. We'll commit.
All right. This is another one that I really like, especially in America where we really devalue the concept of aging and the culture of aging. Jane Fonda said this once. Again, I bring up Jane Fonda because she has aged so gracefully. I think, or well, or with vitality, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she was like, God, the culture of aging here seems to be like a slow descent into decrepitude. And I'm trying to remember, like, dude, do you remember being 20 and looking at the women that were 20 or 30 years older than you with disgust? Did you? I'm asking you honestly. I don't think I did. Like, I looked at the Maria Shrivers and the Oprah Winfreys and, God, I mean, you know, the Ellen DeGeneres's, and I always admired them. I wish that they were my mentors. I admired what they'd achieved. I had envy for where they wanted to be, but not from a place of self-loathing. Whereas, like, I definitely find, you know, the younger generation now has a loathing. And I'm like, is this new or has it always been this way for people that are a little bit older? And it's like, I think that culture of aging in our country is really skewed. Whereas, like, God, when I was 20, I'm like, I wish I could go back in time and mentor me and say, hey, I've been down this road. Yeah. Oh, sharks. Like, you know, big ones. Like, and you know, Susie Orman has been a mentor to me, and she's 63, I think. She's 22 years older than me.
Yeah.
And I've never once, ever thought of her as like, ugh, you're old, get out of the way. I've always been like, what can you tell me? What can you teach me? I have nothing but respect. And I think that it makes it so hard for people to age because we feel like people are throwing out our opinions, throwing out, you know, when I'm speaking at 40, I mean, imagine how 60-year-olds feel, 80-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And it's like we just kind of push them out of the way and off to the side. Only in America do we do this.
Yeah, the cultures are bad.
But it's like, you know, even though your beauty may fade, right, your intimacy and your friendships grow and your wisdom grows. And we get so caught up on like, oh my God, I'm wrinkling. Oh my God, I'm getting jowly. Oh my God, whatever, without looking at, and I just had this talk with my shrink. I'm like, why am I the only one that seems to be okay with me getting older? You know, and it's like, it's not, I mean, not my, you know, it's not my family or my friends, but it's the culture for sure. And the business I live in. How much longer do you want to do this? I'm like, wait a minute. Susie Orman hadn't even written her first book by the time she was 40. Oprah Winfrey was what are you talking about? It was bigger at 60 than she was. Like, it's just, you know, Susie Orman is bigger than what? It's wild how, like I turned 40, my business is bigger than ever. Mm-hmm. Two shows, I mean, clothing line, food line, like, everything I could have. My business is bigger than it's ever been. And people are like, well, who's the next Jillian Michaels? I'm like, well...
Jillian Michaels.
My brand is bigger than ever. Who's the next me? Well, first of all, why can't they be the next them? But okay. And I'm like, why am I the only one that thinks that the older I get, the better I get?
Because I don't think you wake up every day and compare yourself to the latest selfie that's come out with a filter on it. And then using that to measure how successful or how good you feel about yourself.
It's weird, though.
Your measurement system is different. And that's what's important. And if people can start to do that, they will become so much more happier and fulfilled.
It's crazy.
So much more.
It's like, look at like your relationships and how they grow, your intimacy levels with others and how they grow, your level of wisdom. Holy God. I mean, I'm such a better person than I was 10 years ago.
Amen.
And than I was last year.
Me too.
And then I look back, I'm like, oh God, look at what a... I was such a vapid a-hole then, or whatever, you know, but I mean, it's like, I really value the progress I've made in my life.
You should.
It's a lot of progress, girl.
You should.
So, anyway, I'm, we kind of addressed this one, but this guy says, money talks. It says goodbye. If you don't plan your finances later in life, you'll wish you had.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one. I think people always think, well, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Well, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, No. Right now.
Right now.
You gotta be forward thinking. And while I don't want you to live for tomorrow, you definitely have to
plan for it.
Now. Take action now.
Yes.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a present activity.
And that's what makes it hard too, because if you're supposed to be planning for the future financially, you're not supposed to go into the indulgences of today, and they're saying, buy now, do it now, buy this. But then they also want you to do it for the future. It's like who you subscribe to.
Yes, completely. All right, here's one that I like a lot. He says, life lessons from the Wizard of Oz. I don't know how this is the Wizard of Oz, but I talk about this a lot, and I'll give my example in a second. Any seeds you planted in the past, either good or bad, will begin to bear fruit and affect the quality of your life as you get older, for better or for worse. And I've often referred to this because I remember the time that I spent at ICM, right, which was this talent agency, and it was from 24 to 27 when I stopped training and thought I needed a real job and all this stuff, and wasted 3 years and never ended up working in the business. And I remember afterwards going, oh my God, I was already training. When I was 24, I lost all this time and all the ability to build a clientele, and I took myself way off track. What was this about? Like, God, universe, how did I, what am I going to gain from the 3 years later? Because of that time that I put in at ICM, I had clients from ICM at my sports medicine facility, and those clients A, helped me build my business, but B, one of them put me up for Biggest Loser. And so what I always tell people is, look, you might think you're planting an apple seed and you're expecting it to crop up, you know, based on the little book of seeds. In 6 months, we should have an apple tree. And 2 years later, you don't have an apple tree, but you might have a peach tree. Who knew? Like, you're planting seeds. You don't always know how they're going to manifest, but they will manifest.
Right.
And by the way, it isn't just for the good things.
No, and by the way, you might find...
chickens come home to roost.
Amen. And you'll find people that actually are in the market for peaches.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And boy, am I happy that it ended up being a peach tree, because I would be a Hollywood agent right now, miserable. And now I get to be me doing what I loved in the first place before I thought I had to get out of my passion to find a real job.
I love peaches.
Me too, girl. Me too. So, you know, again, if it doesn't bear fruit right away, have faith and be real careful about what you reap what you sow.
Yeah.
So make sure you're planting positive, well-intentioned things. And even if it's a mistake, you can still learn from those mistakes. Hello. All right. This one's tough. I don't know that I would say this is... okay. Jealousy is a wasted emotion. People you hate are going to succeed. People you like are going to sometimes do better than you. Kids are going to be smarter and quicker than you are. Accept it with grace. I don't know that I fully believe accept it with grace, and here's why. Whenever I've talked about jealousy or envy with my shrink, he's like, here's the great thing about this. Now you know what you want. Like, use it.
Oh.
Yeah, he's like, great, okay, so you envy that person? What are you envying about them? And I was like, well, they have their own this, and they have their own show, and they got their own such and such, and they blah, 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 blah. And he's like, well, now you know what you want, don't you? Now you're very focused.
Now go for that.
Yes! Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know that jealousy, but that's like hating them for it. That's totally counterintuitive. Because, yeah, they're going to succeed, and you're going to be miserable.
Yeah.
So, you know, be like, oh, all right. And then study. Study the model that they built in order to achieve it and see if it helps you.
Yeah, and apply it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's not just one slot. Like, I think that's the thing that a lot of people, especially in this town, in this industry, get stuck in. So it's like, right. Well, if she's there, then there's not room for me.
Gunslingers.
Like, well, why not?
There's only room in this town, number one.
That's it's absolutely not true. And, like, someone else's mm-hmm. success doesn't mean it's not at the cost of yours.
That's right.
Yeah, so, it's like an abundance mindset. Mm-hmm. Versus
which is hard
scarcity.
For people if they didn't have that growing up and everything is fear-based and lack of and less than. So, you know, you really got to try to shift your perspective. If that's the reality you grew up with, or it was fighting, clawing, and scraping for every small thing, then you grow up feeling that that's the world, but it isn't. There's trillions of dollars in the world. There's billions of people. There's enough for everybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when you approach the world that way, that's the world you're going to experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This one I like as well a lot. You will badly regret the things you didn't do far more than the things you did that were wrong.
Mm.
Dude. I mean, the girl you didn't kiss, the trip you didn't take, the project you put off, the time you could have helped someone. If you get the chance, do it. Because you may never get the chance again. And the thing of it is, you know, if you make the mistake, again, 99% of the mistakes we make are recoverable other than death. Mm-hmm. Nothing we're suggesting here is going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And we're not talking about a stupid stunt like jumping out of a plane. Mm-hmm. We're talking about being vulnerable in life, that it's so worth it to be vulnerable, because the pain of not taking the chance is far worse than the pain of rejection, which is fleeting. And you can learn from it and reapproach the next girl, the next project, the next individual more intelligently. All right. Last one. This is kind of interesting. Every day you wake up is a victory. What do you think about that? It's never too late to become what you wanted to be or might have been if you start now. What do you think about that concept? Every day you wake up is a victory. Kind of got to think about that one.
Go ahead.
I do too. It's a little whimsical to me, you know, when they say like every breath is the breath is this. Be so glad. Well, I expect to breathe. I have expectations. I have expectations to wake up in the morning, and I have certain expectations to be able to take in breaths. I'm not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I do like the adage of it of saying, go for it. Don't waste time. Be happy you have the opportunity. I just don't want it to sound too whimsical.
I agree.
Because then it makes you too floaty. I don't float out of bed and go, but
I agree. I agree. I think that it's, you have a chance every day. You have a chance, and yeah, you know I'm kind of a hippie, but it's don't like what you're doing, whatever that thing is, job, relationship, apartment, like, yeah. You wake up today and you're like, today I'm making the choice to start making a change.
I think no motivational list is complete without something slightly cheesy. So
good point. Yeah. I will say that whenever my kids have like a quote bad day, right, where they're not listening and they've lost a ton of stuff, like their treat, their show, whatever, because it's like we're trying not to give them timeouts so they don't feel abandoned. So I end up just removing everything. I'm taking the toy. I'm taking your treat. We're not watching a show. But as we get to the end of the day sometimes with my son, and I'm like, the kid is like practically naked. He's lost everything. And I'm like, I'm like, look, bro, I'm like, tomorrow's a new day. I'm like, let's wake up tomorrow. We're going to start again. I'm like, think of all the cool things we can get, have, and do. So, you know, and I'm like, and let's start with this. If we can get through the night, and he knows the routine, he's like, no screaming. I'm like, right? No screaming. He's like, no yelling. I'm like, don't do that. No hitting. I'm like, well, no one's sleeping in here, but that's also a great idea. Like, we go through the whole list, and I was like, he's like, what do I get? And it's like, it's not that I necessarily want to always bribe him, but I definitely need to positively incentivize him. And I'll be like, we'll go to Starbucks for breakfast. And he will, dude. He will, like, this morning, he was up at 6 in the morning, and I set his little alarm clock for 7:30. Because I'm like, I must rest. He was up. I heard him tinkering around in his room. But boy, when that owl turned green, he was like, Starbucks, da-da-da-da. And because he had that hope of like, today is going to be a better day. I'm going to get all my shit back today. So I don't know. There's something to it, maybe.
I love it. I agree. It happens in real life. If I don't pay my rent, I lose my house. he loses the chance for, you know, a cake pop.
Okay, we got a new sponsor, Casper Mattresses. These guys are the bomb. They obsessively engineer top quality mattresses at a ridiculously fair price. And the reason is because they cut out the resellers and the showrooms and they pass that savings directly on to the consumer. I'm talking, you get a $500 top quality twin size mattress, you get a $950 top quality king size mattress. And they blend two technologies. They combine premium latex with memory foam. It's the best support. It's the most comfort. Get an awesome night's sleep. And guess what? They've got a risk-free trial and return policy. That's right. 100 days. Try it. If you don't like it, they'll take it back. Painless return. Free delivery. The mattresses are made in America. It doesn't get better than that. And all you got to do is go to www.casper.com/exercise. Then use the promo code exercise, E-X-E-R-C-I-S-E, to get $50 off towards any mattress. Terms and conditions apply.
All right. Listen to this, bastards. Oh God, I'm sure you guys have heard about this. It was all over the news. Coca-Cola funds scientists who shift the blame for obesity away from bad diets.
Wow.
Oh, those pricks. So listen to this. I think we all know, right, that you got to be really careful when you read a study because you got to ask yourself who's funding it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And generally they fund the study to try to get the result that they're after so they can publish it and make a case for usually something that's profit related, right? And people do this all the time. So in this particular case, this obesity study is being funded by, shocker, Coca-Cola. And they're backing a new, and this is in quotes, science-based solution to their obesity crisis. To maintain a healthy weight, get more exercise, worry less about cutting your calories. Those scumbags. And I'm just so pissed off, and here's why. First of all, okay, let's imagine we exercise like a lunatic for an hour, right? And, you know, you're a small lady, you burn 10 calories a minute, and you might get a decent afterburn. Let's say you're like, boy, by the way, to work out intensely for an hour, you actually kind of can't do. So let's just say, as a female, I went bananas, I burned 800 calories in with my afterburn and all that. As a badass dude, a bigger dude, okay, maybe I burned, geez, maybe I got to 1,500. Well, fair enough. That's great. I mean, a small French fries is 400 calories.
Yep.
So, I mean, a soda is 150 calories. So, and that's if you're going crazy and if you're doing it, you know, every single day. Most of us don't have time for that. Mm-hmm. So, even you can eat your way through any amount of exercise. And I've seen many people do it. Mm-hmm. We all know the person that ran the marathon that's probably 30 pounds overweight. I mean, it's like you can easily eat your way through. Not to mention, here's what else pisses me off. Beyond the fact that this just is not a solution, there's chemicals in these foods. It's not just about calories. It's the quality of the calories. There's so much crap in a Coca-Cola that's going to do all kinds of damage.
Yep.
And I saw this one article, ironically, 7 amazing things that happen to your body when you give up soda. And I thought, this is so perfect for coupling this. So first I bring up the Coke study to go, no, this is BS. Be very, very careful. So Coke has provided financing and logistical support to a, quote, nonprofit organization. Hilarious. The Global Energy Balance Network, to promote an argument that weight-conscious Americans are overly fixated on not eating too much food, but they should just work out. So that's BS. Think about who's paying for it. You do need to be very careful, not just about overeating, but also about the quality of your calories. So let's go on to our next article, which I thought did a pretty good job of illustrating the, quote, 7 amazing things that happen to your body when you give up soda. So, and this is both diet and regular. So the first one is you'll be less hungry. And
the irony.
Yeah, I know. And again, when you're drinking regular soda, the high fructose corn syrup, right, that causes this massive spike in blood sugar. When we get all of this sugar so quickly, our pancreas has to pump out insulin to try to clear the blood of this unbelievable amount of blood sugar. Well, when that happens, you end up with a sugar crash because mm-hmm. your blood sugar has spiked. That's what we mean when we say it spikes and then it crashes. Now you've got low blood sugar,
yep.
which is going to send you back for more calories. And with regard to artificial sweeteners, they do really dangerous things because you're taking in something that's exceedingly sweet. The artificial sweeteners can be up to 400 times to 8,000 times sweeter than sugar. And that causes a couple of things to happen. This is in the article. The muscles in your stomach relax so you can take in food. Hormones are released. Even with artificial sweeteners, mm-hmm. insulin gets released, which tells your body to store fat. And it tells your body that, oh, we've taken in all this sweet stuff, but we don't have the calories. And it sends you out looking for more calories because there's a lack of satisfaction. You'll look younger. Boy, I mean, think of all the money we spend on anti-aging mm-hmm. products. Botox, fillers, multivitamins, hyperbolic oxygen chambers. I mean, yeah. the list goes on and on and on. And imagine, listen to this. Findings show that sugar-sweetened sodas consumed only once a day, okay, a 12-ounce serving, one can of soda, were associated with telomere shortness, a precursor to chronic diseases like diabetes and heart disease, and sugar-sweetened sodas increase cell aging, aka senescence, to the same degree as smoking.
Wow.
How about those apples?
Yeah.
It's because it's poison. It's not food, you guys.
No.
It's not food. And this was in the American Journal of Public Health. Okay? Next one. You will lose more weight, be it diet soda or sugar soda. So this, again, has to do with how much insulin is released in the body, not just from you know, sugar, but also from artificial sweeteners. And in addition, it also has a huge impact on our gut flora and fauna, which leads me to the next one. This is actually related to both. So we've talked about probiotics and how important a healthy gut flora is and how it's related to everything from immunity to obesity. Well, these things are throwing, these sodas, both diet and regular, are throwing your whole metabolism and your immunity completely out of whack. But in addition, sweeteners, they put you at risk of heart disease, because all this pure sugar is elevating the hell out of your LDL, mm-hmm. okay? I mean, it's kicking people into type 2 diabetes. Your risk of diabetes increases 18... Okay, in fact, here's from the study. In fact, for every 5% of the calories you consume from sweeteners, your risk of diabetes increases 18%.
Ugh.
Wow. If 5% of your daily calories are from sweeteners. And your LDL or bad cholesterol and your heart disease risk after just 2 weeks of consuming corn-based sweeteners like those in Coke goes up significantly. So, I mean, come on. There's There's a couple more here.
You don't have to be convinced, you know, like the information is out there.
I just think people read these studies and it gives them permission. It's like, well, there's room for everything in a healthy lifestyle.
Or they do the moderation. But you know what? When it comes to like chemicals and sugar, there's none.
That's like one cigarette in moderation. Like this is not like I had a cookie. This is a whole different animal.
It is.
I mean, so because cookie, hopefully you're using butter.
Yep.
You know, real flour, real butter, real eggs, you know, a little bit of chocolate.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, it's not a straight shot of sugar.
Slower process time.
Yeah, right to the gut. And it's all chemicals.
Yep.
All right. You'll reduce hidden fats. So listen to this one. You're going, well, there's no fat in sugar. That's not actually what they're talking about. They're talking about, by the way, all the current research has been showing us fat does not make us fat. It's actually processed carbohydrates, white flours, white sugars that are making us fat because of what it's doing to us biochemically, right? So it's pounding out a ton of insulin, and that insulin is then having to clear all that sugar out of the bloodstream. Well, guess where it's going? It's being stored as triglycerides in our fat cells. It's getting converted to fat. So they did a study where people drank 150 calories a day for 6 months of soda, water, and milk. Now, they didn't change their calories though, okay? So it's not like the people who drank more soda had more calories. Their total fat mass remained the same across all beverage drinking groups, like milk and water, okay? But the drinkers of soda saw a drastic increase in hidden fats, like their liver and their skeletal fat. And it says, and we mean drastic. These were Danish researchers that conducted the study on a group of different people. And that's because this is where we really get into the quality of the calorie.
Yeah.
Because how is the quality of the calorie affecting your hormonal balance, which is your metabolism?
Yeah, it's the calorie consequence.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay, another one. And we're getting to the end here. You'll stop your bones from breaking. Well, I think we all, people aren't dumb. They know that especially soda and diet soda has caramel color in it and artificially created phosphorus that leads to long-term bone problems. Osteopenia, osteoporosis, women in particular, this is a major issue, but now it's becoming more of an issue for men, actually, which is what Dr. Van Hurley told me because she's like, give the kids vitamin D every day. And I was like, really? And she said, you got to keep their vitamin D levels up while they're young to help prevent osteopenia, osteoporosis as they're older. And she said, and I said, well, even with boys? And she said, even with men now.
Wow. That's scary.
Yeah. And so sodas are greatly contributing to the bone density issues that we're having in America. Okay. Last but not least, you'll have more energy, which I think we all know because these sugar crashes are leaving us feeling depleted, exhausted, etc. So although, where are we at time frame on this, Jake?
9:52.
You think we got time for our fries one, or should we make it a separate segment?
I think we can do fries.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. Now, I hate to do this to you guys, because I do think every now and again, we got to have a fry.
I do.
Do it, girl.
Well, here's a study that they conducted where they asked nine or ten experts about how severe it was for French fries, and 7 out of 9 said no, no, and no. But the good news is, here's the good
not
news.
Not ever?
Well, here's the good news.
What about baked sweet potato fries, girl? Come
That's
on.
That's the difference. Here's
okay,
what's the difference.
Give me something to go off of.
It's how it's prepared. So oftentimes, like, we know a potato is generally healthy if we can eat it. It is a little bit of a, you know, a starchy carb, etc.
But
that's
it's
still
loaded with a ton of nutrients.
Loaded,
though.
And also, too, the skin is really important. And if you get it organic and it doesn't have a bunch of chemicals in it, that's really good for you. So the problem is that it is so refined and it's cooked at high temperatures and often reused fat. And so the fat is really high, and that's what makes it so horrible for you. Like when you, a medium order of fries, 365 calories.
Oh, that's a little higher. Interesting. Okay.
But it's, yeah, just a medium size. But you got to understand what a medium size is nowadays, remember?
Like it's little.
It's little because they're getting their they're
yeah,
getting
then you
your
got
money.
The supersized fries.
Supersized fries, right? You that's three times. It's 17 grams of fat and a full 26% of your daily value. Sodium clocks in at 246 milligrams.
Jesus.
10% of the upper limit you should eat. And that's not including the sugar and the trans fats that also happen. So it just reduces the health of this poor little fun childhood drive-through experience.
No.
It's so sad. And then also, too, they did studies also at Tufts talking about the carcinogen, acrylamide. So it's a chemical that forms with high temperature, and oftentimes
this I've read about.
That's what's bad about it.
That's the danger, right?
Yep, super, super hard, and so
it's super toxic. Correct.
Yep, and they use it in making fries, and 99% of the fries that they tested out there. That's how they were cooked.
How,
so that's the problem.
How high? So if I'm making potatoes, so I make these breakfast potatoes, which basically I just shred them on the cheese grater and then fry them in a pan.
You know,
oh, sweet mother.
Right. Well. No, that's a good question. I think that's legit. The study didn't say how high
just
a temperature.
Says, I'm looking
what
at
I
high
think, though,
baking temperatures and
exactly.
Frying, roasting, baking is high.
And you know what else I think is different than the way you prepare it is that they will use this grease over and over
Ugh.
And over again.
Yeah, that's disgusting.
So it's a sustainable high temperature. It's also saturated and then it
Usually
converts
hydrogenated
to trans
oil. Yep. Yeah.
And so that's just a heart attack in size medium drive-through. It's brutal. So I think that it's different. And, you know, and you can also use coconut oil, which mm-hmm. studies have shown it's more stable at
right.
high temperatures.
Yeah, okay.
So it doesn't
that's
convert
a
to a trans fat.
Andy.
So use it, you know, fried up there or bake it.
We get these kids. These kids that happen to be mine. these two animals that have taken over my home. We get them. I can't remember the brand name. That they're these organic frozen sweet potato fries.
No way.
And we bake them.
Love yeah. it. Yeah, we bake them too.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm like, dude, they're. And like, I had a date night with Lou last night. And,
cute.
Oh my God, this should be a whole nother segment, by the way, something that I talked to my shrink about. But anyway, I had this date night with Lou, and I let her just go.
Okay.
I just let her go. I was like, I got a little glass of wine, and I asked them to make her, like, a little mocktail.
Oh.
And, you know, of course it was all juice, which I never give her. And then yesterday she had swimming, horses, and karate. So the kids are still not in school. God. Kill me with the private schools. They're 3 weeks later. So, you know, and then I was like, she had meatballs. She didn't have spaghetti and meatballs because I was like, we can have spaghetti and meatballs or you can have the sweet potato fries. So she had meatballs, sweet potato fries. She didn't eat all of it, right? And then she had profiteroles for dessert and she brought half of it home to Heidi. But like, I'm never like, have all of it, you know, but I just was like, you know what, dude? Mm-hmm. Once in a while, just mm-hmm. let it all hang out. And she's not an overweight kid. It's not overly chemical. It's a clean play. It was grass-fed meatball. Like, in Malibu, everything's soup. You know this.
Yeah.
Andy. But I just think, you know, you got to kind of try to... It goes back to what we always say. Like, allow for some balance, but remove the chemicals in these foods.
Agreed.
You know?
Agreed.
Like, just remove the chemical. It's the chemicals and the toxins and the poisons that we should try to strip out whenever possible. And have the, you know, these sugars and these treats with real butter, real flavor,
yep.
real flour.
And we don't need to be afraid of those things. We just need to go back to the fundamentals. We just need to go back and simmer down.
Yeah!
Go back.
Simmer down.
Simmer down.
Low heat.
In my family, we love to cook, and finding the time is really hard. And on top of that, despite the fact that we love to cook, we're not very good at it. And that's why I'm really excited about Plated. Maybe you've heard about these guys. They were on Shark Tank. Basically, these folks love cooking fresh, exciting, gourmet dishes that are good for you. And if you don't have the time, they provide you with all of the ingredients that are already pre-measured. They send them straight to your door, and you can choose from a ton of recipes of gourmet dishes that taste amazing and that are prepared easily in under 30 minutes. And if you're not home, guess what? The box will keep everything fresh until midnight on the day it arrives, even when it's warm outside. All you have to do is go to plated.com/Jillian, and you can check out all the cool recipes. Again, that's chef-quality meals, 30 minutes or less, all the ingredients delivered, pre-measured, right to your door. Hurry over to plated.com/Jillian now and get free shipping with your first order.
We all have heard of DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness from an intense workout. The faster you recover, the better. We don't want anything keeping you away from the gym. Well, Recovery Max is a fast-absorbing post-workout formula that comes in a cream and a spray. It's designed to quickly relieve the pain of intense training and help accelerate your recovery. It's 100% natural. It increases your circulation. It reduces lactic acid buildup. It has arnica, emu oil, rosemary oil. It provides all natural, long-lasting relief. It's an Australian formulation that is made in the USA. It doesn't leave you stinky. It doesn't leave you feeling greasy. Check it out. All you got to do is go to recoverymax.com or you can go to Amazon and search the keyword Recovery Max. Autumn just left that bitch. We don't need her, Andy.
Mm-mm.
You know why?
Because she makes jewelry.
Yeah, we don't need her. And oh, here she comes. Look, here she comes. Oh, hey, girl. Oh, good, because we've been rolling. Yeah, but you know why we don't need you, Andy said?
Because you make jewelry.
You make jewelry. Even though the jewelry you're wearing is the jewelry piece that I gave you.
I love this piece.
Even though you abandoned
me. It's beautiful.
Me.
I wear it all the time.
Mm. It's beautiful.
It's one of my favorites, actually.
Mm. All right. Well, we were going to do a fitness segment. I mean,
I don't need to be here for that.
Well, no, because you make jewelry now. That's okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
So there's a new study out. Who the heck wrote this so we don't get sued? This is by Kelsey Cannon. It says the best way to catch your breath during a workout, according to science. I mean, we always got to take that with a grain of salt.
Yes.
But I thought this was kind of interesting. I'll tell you this right now. I'm going to check it myself. It says, how do we recover more quickly during sets or HIIT intervals, right? Uh-huh. And the whole idea is we want, you know, we drive our heart rate up. We've all gotten into the benefits of intensity training on a million different levels. But the bottom line is, intensity training is going to bring you faster results athletically and aesthetically. It's been proven at this point over and over and over again.
Yep.
It's going to burn more calories during, more calories after, greater afterburn, greater fat loss, greater gains with regard to your physicality, your flexibility, your agility, your mobility, etc. with regard to the way you're training. So I'm not going to get into that. We've talked about it ad nauseum, workout hard. However,
yes,
when we are doing intense training, we need periods of recovery, right? Any kind of HIIT interval, uh-huh. be it sprints or HIIT intervals like jump rope or what have you, worked into a circuit of strength or even between sets of strength training. Any kind of metabolic conditioning, any kind of circuit training, any kind of HIIT training, you're going to go hard and then you're going to recover. Well, we drive that heart rate up, right? And then we allow it to recover and then we go again.
Yep.
So what these guys are looking for is what's the best way to recover. And I guarantee we've all done the with the hands on the knees.
Yeah.
I do it automatically. By the way, what do you do naturally? I'm just curious. What do you do automatically?
I bend over.
Me
I do.
Too.
I bend over. I do the bend over with your hand on your knees. And you also see that too, like with an endurance sprinter, like when you look at the Olympics and you see all these like runners and stuff, when they cross the finish line, they bend over and put their hands on their knees for a second, catch their breath, stand up, and then do their little victory lap. I've seen that tons of times.
Okay, well, listen to this. And how many times, I don't know about you, you're an Olympian. How many times has anyone been told, don't do that stand up, hands above the head?
Yeah, I know. And the only time I've ever heard of that was when I was in high school by my gym teacher.
Yeah, I got that from my soccer coach.
To prevent cramps.
Because
he said it kind of lifted up your diaphragm. And that's what they're saying this study affects, is the diaphragm, right?
Right. Well, listen to this. Apparently, according to the study, and I'm not totally convinced about this, but I got to see for myself. I'm going to test it out myself because, I mean, no one has an agenda on how to breathe better. It's not selling any products. So we got to kind of take this into account.
Right.
They're saying the best way to recover is not standing up with your hands behind your head, but slightly bending forward with your hands on your knees. And here's why. So listen to this. Bending over Michael Jordan style reduces your heart rate by 22 more beats per minute than staying upright does. That's enormous.
Yeah.
That's bananas.
Especially when you're doing high intensity interval because your heart rate is already so high.
That's
up.
Crazy. So think about it like this. Let's say we take the same individual, right? And I'll use one of my sprints, for example. Let's say I'm going 10 miles an hour for 30 seconds. And it depends on my, quite honestly, I'm always manipulating my recovery time based on the length of my sprint and the speed of my sprint. And my heart rate, dude, it will get up to like 180, 190 because I'm just a crap. My heart rate, my VO2 has always sucked. I've got great strength, great fast twitch, but like I'm a terrible runner. I'm a terrible, like my endurance is terrible. So my cardiovascular conditioning has always been my weak point. So my heart rate will get up to like 180. I mean, it's bananas. And then I'm like, ugh. And you kind of, you got to give it a minute. You can't go again at 170.
No.
So, you know, the goal is you want your heart rate to recover more quickly, right? Now, if you're an athlete, the reason you want it to recover more quickly is so you can obviously get back in the game more quickly. It's like whoever can recover more quickly is going to be after the to run after the ball more quickly, right? But if even still, if you're just working out at the gym, you get more work time in. You can attack the next interval more intensely in a quicker time frame.
More
so,
conditioning.
Yeah, the goal here is recover quickly. And I always was like, well, you know, the whole idea here is to expand the diaphragm and you know, we got it. The better we're conditioned, the quicker the heart rate's going to drop. But, I mean, for this heart rate to drop in a minute, 22 beats faster on the same athlete, based on position?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
So, I mean, we've discussed why you should care, but I mean, here's why they're saying it works. Ready? All right, Here we go. Let me go to my next little page here. According to researchers, bending over is ideal for recovery for multiple reasons. For one, it slightly moves your body's primary breathing muscle, the diaphragm, so you can bring more air into your lungs with each breath. See, now I would have thought it collapsed your diaphragm.
Me too, and that's what I thought that it would have done. That's why I would have
deterred
someone.
That's why they tell you stand up.
That's why I would have deterred someone from standing, bending over.
That's why you don't want to slouch.
Yep.
You know, because it's like it collapses your diaphragm.
Expand your rib cage to get in more breath.
Exactly. But you're not actually, if you think about it, you're not slouching. You're actually hip hinging.
Yep.
Right? And you are kind of stretching. When you think about the actual position, I'm not actually collapsing my core. I'm expanding. I'm doing a little hip hinge.
Yep.
So that's kind of interesting because I'm shifting my diaphragm forward. So that's kind of fascinating. And it says this position allows your abdominal muscles to force out more carbon dioxide, right? Which is what we breathe in. We breathe in air. We exhale carbon dioxide. We've taken CO2, carbon dioxide is the byproduct of exercise. So you breathe in and then we exhale. So we take in the oxygen, we exhale the dioxide. And when we force out the carbon dioxide, we're getting rid of the byproduct of breathing, right? And, okay, if you can expel a greater quantity of carbon dioxide through your breaths, your pulse slows down faster. A slumped, hunched over position may also relay the message to your brain that it's time to relax. This shuts off your sympathetic nervous system, the one that's wired to make your heart beat like crazy and your adrenaline spike. And it kickstarts your parasympathetic nervous system, which slows down your breathing and helps your body unwind.
So it's like a tube of toothpaste when you squeeze it out to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get the CO2 out. You're expanding your diaphragm. So you're being able to take in more air. And you're signaling your brain to chill out for a second.
The fight or flight is killed.
What do you think of this? You have a degree.
I don't know anything of this.
You went to
bending
college?
Bending over 101. I skipped that class a lot because it was early in the morning. And so...
Skip that class. Okay, girl. Do that in your personal recreational activities. Who just had a baby? Okay. I'm trying it.
I'm going to try it too.
You know who I'd love to ask is Kelly Starrett, that guy.
Yeah. The supple leopard dude.
I'm going to ask him.
Ask him.
I'm going to email him.
Do it.
And then I'm going to try it myself.
Fine.
Bye.